I thought I turned it on. All right, it's on now. Sorry, I thought I hit the button. Maybe I didn't hit it long enough. Okay, we'll get this right here. All right, so we'll leave that microphone hot just in case we need somebody to read in a little bit. Again, glad to see all of you here. We're going to continue our study with a holy hunger today. And we're talking, last week we were discussing our relationship and developing our relationship with God and how that is the preeminent relationship. And if we can't get that relationship right, we're going to have a hard time getting any relationships right, because we've been instructed to love God, and we have been equipped, and God has made us to want to be in relationship, and He's actually made us to want to be in relationship with Him. And Andy, would you do me a favor? I want to make it easier for the folks on this side to read. Can you walk back there and flip the switch so those lights will come on? I believe it's on the wall, and they're not on. I don't. All right, there we go. Okay, there you go. There we go. Thank you. All right, so that way it'll make it a little bit easier to be able to read and see some things here. So what we're going to be talking about today is even God can't fix my mess. That's the mentality and the attitude that some people have when they are living in relationship with God, or maybe in this case not living in relationship the way they should with God. We don't know if God's going to be willing to or if He will. And so we lose our faith a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to discover that God's power is unlimited. First of all, I want to tell you the story of men's church meeting that got a little bit out of hand. And apparently this was a congregation that must not have had elders for whatever reason. So they decided to call a men's meeting, and they began to discuss some things there. Well, when they began to discuss it, things got a little bit heated. And that can happen at times. Whenever you're dealing with people and you're in meetings, sometimes you're going to feel a little stronger about a subject than somebody else. And it may be that there's some discussion about it, and at times it can become heated. Well, things had gotten heated in this business meeting, especially, and so an older gentleman eventually suggested that they all stop and that they all take a moment to pray for wisdom and help so that they could diffuse the situation a little bit and everybody could get back on the same page and refocus. When he said that, though, one of the minister there retorted, "Has it come to that? Has it come to that that we need to stop and pray for help and wisdom?" Well, now that's not a very good attitude, is it? That says a lot right there about maybe some of the problem that they were having in that, because all of the things that we deal with in our life, if we're in relationship with God, we need to talk to Him about. We need to discuss with Him. We need to make Him part of the process of what we are doing in our life. I mean, when you think about it, when you get news, most of the time we share that news with someone. If we're married, a lot of times we will share the news that we have of the day and the things that have happened to us in our life. We share those things with our spouse, don't we? We talk about a lot of different things. I want to share this news. Hey, let me tell you what happened today. Or you might come in and say, well, hey, how was your day and what happened? And you go into this discourse of what happened during the course of the day. And here's something I'm struggling with. And this is a problem that I ran into today. And you're not going to believe what happened to me today. Have you ever heard those things when you're talking with each other? You're not going to believe what happened. And a lot of times when that happens, that's the first thing we want to do is we want to call up somebody close to us to discuss the problems that we're facing. Now, if that's the case, that we do that with one another, why is it that we don't take the time to do that with God and be in relationship like that with Him? Maybe we sit there and think, well, He just doesn't have enough time for that, or that's a waste of His time, or I don't need to trouble God with that. But we need to take all of our problems. We need to take our blessings. We need to take all of our good days. You know, I think about that quite a bit. It's important for us just to be in relationship with God. I enjoy sharing good news with my friends, as well as not enjoy sharing bad news, but at least share it because I know I need somebody to help me or to support me or to be with me to work through this particular situation. So I need to share all of those different things in my life with God as well. And what we have to remember is God's power is unlimited. Now, what is the issue behind the statement that was just made by the minister? Has it come to that? What's behind that? Anybody got any ideas? What do you think that's... Yes, Tim. Okay. All right, that's right. All right, sometimes what do? We have, well, that's just too trivial to waste God's time with. We can handle this, right? And so that's an issue behind that. You know, we'll take care of this one. Hey, listen, God, I got it. I got this one covered. So maybe we think that we can handle it ourselves, and that's one of the things that I have put down here, Tim, but since it's number three, I'm going to wait to run through them so that somebody might say something else that I've got a little earlier. All right, what else? Anybody else? All right, well, maybe we may not have enough faith. Sometimes we just may not have enough faith that God would be willing to do what it is that we would like to have happen. Or the difficulty, well, I just don't think God will ever answer. Ever have that? Don't you know a lot of people like that? What do we call that in our world? When people are, well, no, it probably won't happen. Well, we call it pessimism, don't we? That is the glass is half empty, right? The glass is half empty. You know, I got thinking about that the other day. People talk about the glass being half full or the glass being half empty. And, you know, I thought about that when it came to my age. And I thought, you know, I kind of like the glass being half empty, maybe. I don't know that it is or not. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to my age, you know, I like the glass being a little bit, maybe you've thought about it like that before. I don't. But a lot of times we say that people that say that the glass is half empty, those people are what? They're pessimistic. They don't see the good that's in the glass. They don't see what they have there. And so sometimes, maybe we just don't have enough faith. No, it'll never work out for me. That'll never happen. I won't get blessed that way. We just don't have enough faith and confidence in God. Yes, Tim? Well, that's true. Maybe we're not going to get the answer that we want. Or maybe God will open my eyes to the wisdom of the other person. I don't really want that to happen because of the emotions of it. That's true. Maybe we believe that God's not concerned enough about our issues. We talked about that. Maybe it's just not that significant. And then again, we often think that we can handle things on our own. Okay, but it's important for us to continue to be in relationship with God. Now, understand this. We're not the only people that have struggled with this problem before. Even Moses was not above this problem. If we open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Let's turn over there together and we'll look at the context of what we're talking about in Numbers chapter 11. Now, the people have been grumbling. They have left Egypt and they complained about not having enough food, and of course God provided them what? God provided the people with what? With manna, okay. So now they've been eating manna out there in the wilderness. And after you've eaten manna for a while, you probably would like to have what? Something, what did you say, Nikki? Some meat. You might want to have a little meat after that. So now the children of Israel are tired of the manna that God's provided for them. And it's been a free meal, actually, guys. I mean, let's think about it. God's been providing them with free food. Free. How many of you would like to get all of your meals this week paid for? Where's Judy Thomas? Oh, no! Yeah, I had to buy Judy's lunch the other day because she reminded me I had not taken care of my rake project from the week before. I love it. She's like, hey, did you take care of your rake? We were joking with each other. So I had to pick up Judy's stuff. And you know what? I didn't, Judy, so give me your ticket. So all our little rake ideas. But isn't it neat? You know, my dad and mom, I don't know what happened on this, but they had a string of restaurant visits where somebody picked up their tab. It was like three of them in a week. Dad's like, man, you know, every time he called it, you ain't going to believe what happened. Somebody paid for my lunch. I don't even know who. Three times. Wow. Now, how would you like to have all of your meals for this week paid for? All right. Yeah. Even if it's not exactly what you wanted, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Be grateful for that, wouldn't you? Even if it's not your favorite meal. These guys were getting their food free. It's manna free from God. But this wasn't enough. They were getting a little tired of the manna, so it's time for a little bit of meat. So they're grumbling and they are complaining about this. Now, what happens is, we find here in about verse 21, but Moses said, the people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month. So God has said, okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some meat. And I'm going to provide this meat for you also. I provided you with the manna. Now I'm going to provide you with the meat. And you're going to have this meat for a month. So Moses is having a hard time comprehending this, which is strange to me. And maybe it would be strange to you because Moses has been with God for quite some time now, hasn't he? And what has Moses already experienced with God? What now? A lot of miracles. What'd you say? Parting of the Red Sea. What else? What now? Seeing it face to face. What? Burning bush. All right. What else? The plagues. Moses just witnessed 10 plagues on Egypt. God said, this is what I'm going to do to those people. And that's exactly what happened. There was darkness. God can make it dark for an entire period of time. No light. God can send grasshoppers that will eat everything up. Boils on their cattle. Death of the firstborn. Frogs. Oh, Miss Pat. Oh, don't talk to me about frogs. Y'all, Miss Pat's extremely scared of frogs. So she would not prefer to get anything frog-like for her birthday. No frogs. And incidentally, don't give Yulia a bunny either. She don't like bunnies. No. You think about all of these amazing miracles that Moses witnessed with God. And he's God. You mean you're going to feed 600,000 men meat for a month? As if that would be too difficult for God. He says, this is what Moses says. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? God, how are you going to do this? Are you going to slaughter all of the cattle to feed these 600,000 people? I mean, we're talking about a big meal. What about all the fish? If we caught all the fish, I don't think we could eat, that we could feed all of these guys. Well, listen to what God says in verse 23. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you see whether my word will come true for you or not. Is the arm of the Lord shortened? In other words, what is God saying to Moses? I told you I would do this. Why do you doubt my ability? Why do you doubt my ability to provide for these people when you have seen the miracles that I have done, when you know my power? Now, the question is, do we sometimes have the same problem? Isn't this the question that we also face with God? You know, I just don't know how you can do this, God. I don't know how you're going to fix this problem in my life. I'll tell you something, I would imagine your problem is not bigger than the problems God has faced with other people before and fixed. It's not. He can do it. But this is the problem that we face. Well, how in the world are you going to do this, God? How are you going to fix this problem that I'm facing in my life, this difficulty, this issue? So, let's ask this question. Can God take care of me no matter what my situation may be? Now, the easy answer to that is what? Yes. And Tara asked me on the way over here today, said, Chris, what are you teaching about in class this morning? I said, well, I'm talking about our holy hunger for God and our relationship with Him, but I'm going to be talking about our belief in God being able to do things. Can God answer my prayers? Can He do things for me? Can He fix my problems? And again, as Christians, I don't think any of us would say, no, He just can't do it. He can't fix them. As Christians, we have this idea and this notion in our mind that God can do it. Okay? But what I wanted to deal with today, and this is our belief that He will and that He can. That's exactly right. He may do it a different way than we think, but He can do it. And you know, that's why I love the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were answering Nebuchadnezzar about bowing down to that idol when the music played, when he said, listen, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Their response to him was, well, listen, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace if He decides to do it. He may not decide to do that, and if He doesn't, that's okay too, but we're not going to bow down to your image because we believe that He can. That's the God we believe in. So He may not answer my request. He may not rescue us from being burned in this fiery furnace, but we're not going to bow down to you because we believe that He is who He says He is and that He can do what He says He will do and can do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, do we believe that? Is that the kind of faith that we have? That's a good point, Don. Sometimes we feel guilty, don't we? Asking God about things, we feel like that, you know, we don't measure up, obviously. We will never measure up. We will never be able to do for God what God has done for us in our life. But even then, we still miss the mark a lot of times, don't we? And we don't do what we should be doing. And maybe you feel like, and I know I have felt this way before, maybe you feel like, boy, I just wish I were a better servant and a better a Christian for God. And then you feel guilty about asking God to be with you and help you to do things because, well, why would He help me or why should He help me? Okay, that's a good thought. Yes, April. Okay, he shouldn't have to. Well, there you go. That's a good point too. He shouldn't have to. Yes, Tara. Take it. Hold that thought. All right. Because I'm coming to that. And I've got a question later. Hey, I've got a question later. Yeah, I do too. We've been married almost 21 years, baby. I know what's going through your head right now. You're like, and then let me tell you what it is. What's going through her head is, boy, I can't wait till the service is over with because he's going to get it. That's what's going through her head right now. I'm just kidding. No, hold on to that thought because I do have a question related to what you were going to talk about. See, there you go. I knew it. And so, and I want to get to that because I want you to share what you were going to share. But share it in just a few moments when we get to this point. Okay. So, Ken, you got it. All right. So we're talking about some of these things. All right. Let's move on to this. This question is asked by those, and here are some scenarios of people that ask these questions. Can God take care of me no matter what? This question is asked by those trying to rebuild after a devastating loss. Now, if you think about devastating losses, it might be a death in the family. It might be a friendship. It could be something that you've lost that is devastating to you in your life. And can we rebuild after that? Can we get over that? And sometimes it's like it says, it's an effort akin to scaling Pike's Peak, trying to work your way up that mountain again and rebuild after a devastating loss that you have faced in your life. Or it might be asked by those who've been trapped by sin and who are trying to turn their lives around, which is sometimes similar to turning an ocean liner with an oar. It's difficult. And when you have been entrapped and enslaved by a sin, ask people that have been entrapped by those that have had addictions and problems and how difficult that problem may be. But I want to get rid of it. All right? And so people have asked, oh, can God help me through this? I just don't see how it's possible. But it is. It's asked by those trying to put marriages back together after months and years of conflict. I just don't think we're ever going to be able to work through these issues. Can God help me with that? Will He help me with that? It's asked by some who are trying to forgive people who have hurt them deeply when they don't feel very forgiving and when there is no sign of repentance and sorrow on the part of those they are trying to forgive. It's been asked by that. Can God give me a spirit of forgiveness and help me work through this in this particular situation? Well, let's think about the power of inner strength a little bit. And we're going to be talking about this in relationship to God as well. And I want to share with you a story. During his rookie season, Stacy King played for the Chicago Bulls. And he got into a game in his rookie year, and Jordan scored 69 points in that game. So he was able to be a part of one of the most memorable games in basketball history. There's not too many people that have scored that many points. Kobe Bryant scored 81 in a game. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100. Very few people scored this many points in a game. So it's kind of a special night, and it's one of the top five scoring nights in the history of basketball. And Stacy King, who was a rookie for the Chicago Bulls, got to play in that game. So he'll always be able to say, you know what, I was in that game. Well, after the game, as you all know, there'll be reporters in there. And I would imagine after that game, there were quite a few reporters wanting to interview all of the players. And if they could get a voice or a sound bite from Jordan, I'm sure they would have liked that as well. But they were interviewing Stacy King about it. And listen to what he has to say. He says, I'll always remember it as the evening Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. I'll always remember it as the evening Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. This means he contributed one. All right. Now, what is the bigger point of that story? The bigger point is this. Although he was in the game, the real firepower came from the superstar. The firepower came from the superstar. He contributed to the game, didn't he? He was part of it. He was in the game. He added a point. I don't know what the line of victory was even. I didn't go back and check that. It may have been that they won by a point. I know that when I was in the state championship tennis tournament in high school, we won by 2 points. Me and Scott, my doubles partner, Scott Shirley, we were doubles partner. We were the number one seed in doubles. We got upset in the first round, didn't contribute a single point. I drew a seeded player in the second round of the tournament, and I won my first round match in the state championship and got beat by a seeded player in the second round. I contributed 2 points to our state tournament team. Guess how many points we won by? 2. I felt like I'd let the team down. I thought, man, we were the number one seed. We were supposed to win this thing. And we got upset in the first round of this tournament. And now we're not going to get any points. We're not going to win the state championship because of this. 2 points. That was it. Maybe they won by 1 point. His point made a difference. You know what? That's the way it is with us and God. How does this apply to us? Make a spiritual application for me with this statement and this thought and this concept. What's the point? What? Every point counts. That's a good application. What else? Tim? All right, the body has many parts. But what is the overall thing that we're trying to get from this? Thank you, Glenn. And who's going to do the lion's share of the work? God. That's right. You're in the game, folks. You're not going to be able to score as many points as God, I can tell you. He's the superstar here. The power's with Him. The power for victory is with Him. But you're in the game, and He expects you to what? He expects you to contribute. I don't know what else Stacy King did that night. He may not have scored a bunch of points, but he may have gotten several rebounds. May have had an assist or two. May have blocked a shot. I don't know what he did to contribute. He was one of five men on that court to help play defense, though, and to do something. He was in the game. So God expects us to be in the game, but He wants us to understand that I'm the power in this whole process. But through me, we can do great things. We can do great things. It's a... Yes.
I've been dealing with something for about 2 months. And the other day on the way to work, I was praying, you know, God, please give me some kind of, let me find out some kind of information about this certain item. That afternoon, I got information about it.
Isn't that something?
It was good information. It wasn't on the bad, side. You know?
Yeah. And you just sat back and prayed. So you got a double blessing. You got what you asked for, and not only did you get what you asked for, you got something good from it as well. Good information. You got a double blessing. Yep. What were you going to say? Finish that. That's right. That's exactly right. All right, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Steve has his glasses and his Bible, and those are two important things if you're going to read. Right, Steve?
That's right.
That's right. Good. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19.
That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
All right, being strengthened in that inner man through God. All right, I want to share with you another story. You know, sometimes there was a book written, Is Your God Too Small? Sometimes we don't want to say He's too small, but maybe He's too middle-sized for us. He's not big enough. In C.S. Lewis's Prince Caspian, many of you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia series. In his book, Prince Caspian, Lucy makes a comment when she sees Aslan. Now, she hasn't seen Aslan since in a while, and Aslan is the lion in the story, and C.S. Lewis made this lion represent Christ, basically, in a spiritual and symbolic sense. But when she sees him the next time, she comments about how much larger he is than he was before. And to that, he says this, "I am not, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Every year you grow, you will find me bigger." Now, what spiritual application is there for us in that? What now? Okay, that could be the case. But if we're talking about Aslan being Christ, that's right. As we grow spiritually, we understand how big God is and how He can take care of things. Our faith grows bigger in Him as we grow spiritually. As we grow spiritually, our faith grows bigger. And so that's the point. So that was the question for us. That's how it is for us as we grow spiritually as well. Now, let us look again and consider the power of God. And I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to notice verses 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. And then if somebody wants to turn to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, you can put your finger. Actually, Steve, just put your finger there because you already read it, and I'll hand you the mic again. You can read those last two verses because you had it there before. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll read verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. It's important for us to go back and take a look at passages of Scripture that demonstrate the power of God to help us remember and understand and realize how great He truly is, how much He can do for us in our lives. All right, Steve. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21.
Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
All right. Now, we've got about 5-10 minutes, and so what I have left is I have three questions I'm going to ask you. So this is the involvement part of the class. Really want you to be involved in this and share with the class some things. And like I said, we got about 10 minutes left. We'll go as long as that 10 minutes we can. If we end a little bit earlier or something like that, that's okay. But I did want to give you an opportunity. So here's question number one. Which problems are difficult for you to hand over to God? Think about that. Which problems are difficult for you to hand over to God? Anybody want to share? Anybody got any thoughts? Yes, Tim. Yes. And help you with that. All right. Pray for strength in that. Okay. All right. What other problems? Anybody got any? Yes, Steve.
I think for me, it's we know we're supposed to do our part, right?
Yes. Right.
You know, the question the preacher asked in the story you gave earlier about how to come to that, I don't know when it's come to that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Right. All right. Well, yes, April. Sure. Right. And then, well, that's exactly right. And those are, and to be quite honest with you, that's exactly, when we need to go is when we're struggling, because that's when we need strength the most to try to sort through those situations and those issues. And I have that same problem too, April. I understand what you're saying. And so that's when we need to go to God in prayer and be in relationship with Him and talk about some of these things. All right, anybody else? All right. Okay. Oh, wait, Danny, go ahead. Well, that was what I was coming to. Question number two. There you go. After pleading with the Lord for weeks about something, how surprised were you when He actually answered your prayer as you wanted? Tony kind of mentioned something about that a little bit ago, didn't he? You've been probably praying to God about this for a while, hadn't you? And you prayed that. How surprised were you to get an answer that afternoon? That soon. Yeah, right. So you were pretty surprised. Wow. Did you have an epiphany kind of? Like, wow, thank you, God. I mean, that's kind of thing. When those moments happen and God answers your prayer and you recognize that He's answered your prayer and you it just sometimes blows your mind a little bit, doesn't it? All right. Tara, go ahead with your comment. No, go ahead with what you were going to say then before. Oh, okay, well, let me see. There is a third question. Did you tell anyone what God did for you? Okay, all right, well, fine. I guess I didn't know what you were talking about. My bad. So that basically goes back to question one. Okay. Which problems are difficult for you to hand over to God?
Yeah,
the ones you don't want. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I just don't want to deal with that problem, period. Yeah, those ones that I want. All right, very good. Mm-hmm. All right. So, all right, well, what about anybody else? Been something that... Yes, Ms. Doris. It was just wonderful the way that he, yeah, because God can do things for you. Yes, James. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's true. We need to realize and appreciate these things more and share that information more with folks. Yeah, that's right. Yes, Tim. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it's okay to share some of that stuff as well. Yes, Kathy. I'm coming back over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult to find that balance at times. Yes, Nikki, you were wanting to say?
Going back to question number two, last year we had two difficult times in our life. Our daughter had to have operations and funds in Afghanistan. But I wasn't surprised when it worked out right. I have confidence in God's going to do it.
That's right. Confidence, that's right. And you prayed to him about it. That's right. Not surprised by his answer of goodness and graciousness for us. And sometimes it's like Ms. Doris said, he may answer a little differently than what we anticipated or the way that maybe we had it worked out in our mind that this is what should happen. Sometimes God knows best and he can do great things. And he does things according to his will, and that's the attitude and the mentality that we should pray with is that God do things according to his will. And that we also submit to that will. Yes, Danny.
You know,
Yes. No, he doesn't, does he? No, you're right. But that all should. You're right. That's exactly right. More than the people that are going to die saved. You're a lot more. Yeah, it is. It is. God doesn't always get. And you know what? That should be something that we think about too when we don't get what we want all the time. You know, maybe we ought to think about that and realize, you know, it is not God's will. It's not God's plan. It's not God's desire that everybody be lost. But there are going to be some people that choose that, so God doesn't get everything He wants, because God wants to be in relationship with absolutely every single individual that's ever lived on this earth. Every single part of His creation He wants to be in relationship with when it comes to human beings. And He's not going to get to have that relationship with them either. Yes, one last question, and we'll or one last comment, and then we will dismiss. Yeah. That's right. And we got to keep praying that kind of about that stuff as well. All right. Any other thoughts, comments, real quick? I guess we're out of time, so I'm going to close it up. Appreciate you being here. Thank you for your comments and your participation in class this morning. You know, well, never mind. That was one thing I was going to share, and I forgot, but it was pretty good. Y'all want to hear it? All right. I'm going to share for those of you that would like to hear it. I meant to share this with you. We got about 30 seconds. If you want to hear it, that's fine. If you need to go get kids, you can do that as well. It's a quote from the book that I've been studying out of and reading. It says, "Unfortunately, many people have their vision of God's power cloud as they get older. Some feel defeated. Others feel knocked down by the force of sin. And still others develop a human-centered, highly rational faith that keeps God at a distance." Now, his statement is, "When our vision of God diminishes or fails to grow, Christianity becomes a tame, drab, lukewarm, safe religion that fits comfortably into our malnourished worldview." I thought that was pretty good. That's the final thought for you.